Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'd like to be everything you want. Justin Bieber. You know I'm in it with the ether. Guns out. How the fuck is that lyric?
It's Nicki Minaj anyway. I don't know if I'd go.
But I gotta keep an eye out for Selena. Beauty and a Beat. Hang on. Wait, let me get that actually.
What about like Baby or something?
No. Beauty and a Beat. Shane, you can keep this all in, but just let me get Beauty and the Beat right. Taken now. Yeah, I'm the hottest ticket now.
Eeny meeny.
Let me show you what you're missing. Paradise.
You're listening to Bandwagons. Are you happy with that?
Okay, so the lyric is Justin Bieber, you know I'm a hit it with the ether. So I was right there. Buns out wiener, but I got
I did not know that buns out wiener bit, and that's the only bit I'm gonna sing from now on.
Buns out wiener. How are you, Breed?
I am all good. How are you?
I'm grand, yeah.
Did you enjoy the sun this weekend?
I did. I sat out in the sun Saturday, and then I spent yesterday inside all day, which was probably a mistake.
Oh, yesterday was gorge.
I know, it was very, very nice.
I can't get anyone to come swimming with me though, so but I don't think the sea is as warm as the weather, so probably for the best.
Definitely not. Probably for the best, yeah. I'd love a good swim. What's my mom always saying? Never swim with an oar in the month? No, that's the mackerel. We've talked about this before.
What?
March, April, May.
Don't eat mackerel with an oar in it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to eat mackerel when there's an oar in the month.
Fresh.
It's not as nice, I think.
Okay.
So May, June, July, August. That's a good mackerel month. But I don't think we're supposed to eat fish anymore. I haven't watched Seaspiracy, but maybe consider that. But sorry, what was I saying? No, March, April, May, stay out of the sea.
No, you made that up. You made that up.
No, June, July, swim till you die. Ask my mom.
Beer before clear, all clear.
No, wine, that's...
Beer before wine, you'll be fine.
That was made up.
Liquor before wine, you'll be grand. Like, you can make anything fit to your own narrative.
Yeah, but like, sea swimming? I don't know. I don't want to have an agenda there.
If you want to swim, swim. That's what I say. I've got all the gear. The girls were slagging me because they were like, Breed, you are the type of person that buys all the equipment for a hobby before you even consider taking up the hobby.
Yeah.
So here I am with like my four swimming togs, my dry robe, my like... all gear bag and all, and I have not swam this year yet.
I am as well, to a degree, though. Like, I've bought all the roller skating stuff. Like, we shall see how long I keep at it.
You need the roller skating stuff to start roller skating.
That's true. Yeah.
You can't start.
But sorry, what's your argument? Well, all you need to swim is.
So they were like, why don't you go
or a body of water?
Literally, they're like, why don't you just go and swim and see what you need? And I bought like new towels. Like, I didn't need to buy a dry robe before I'd even gotten into the sea this year.
That's a really fair point to you.
But listen, I'm treating myself. If I don't have the gear, I won't go. So I'm a, what's the word? I like to be prepared. I'm a planner.
You do. Be Olive. Theolove is
Theolove is right.
That's another Calista Jones classic from the Calista Jones pocketbook.
Did she say Beolove? Beolove.
No, she doesn't. Sorry, I don't buy into whatever dialect that is. Munster dialect, chef's kiss forever.
No, Olive is how I'd say it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but I thought you don't.
Who says Beolove then?
I would have said that was Munster.
There's a woman who, well, we definitely didn't say it like that anyway. There's a woman who lives in our area who I've seen, and she's a three-legged greyhound, and they're walking past the window at the minute. So gorgeous. He's wearing a jacket. And then she's another dog that like just walks alongside her. And the greyhound's just like bobbing ahead.
Aww.
Maybe it's like a lurcher kind of dog. I'm not sure, but it's that kind of vibe. Anyway, today we are talking about Justin Bieber.
Yeah, this was I know we say this a lot, but this genuinely was highly requested by several people that I know in real life. And they were like, are you doing a Justin Bieber episode? Because he's got new music coming out. And I kept saying, no, we're keeping that for a live show. But then today, Fionnuala clearly pointed out to me that Justin Bieber is no crack.
He's not. And like, I don't really mean that as a dig, but like, I think his story is very complicated. And while he has like an incredible back catalogue of pop and R&B, he can also be problematic. And also like this whole new dimension of him being married and him being adult. Like he's not, I don't know. I was just like, the more
it'd feel wrong to take the piss out of him at this stage, I think, when he's only really putting himself right.
We were going to do Demi Lovato, but I think we're going to do that next week because all her documentary is going to be out. So as Breathe Out Breed was like, we should do this. And I was like, yeah, we should. Because I mean, I like him. Do you like him?
I hear one more person say, I get my peaches up in Georgia. I am going to throw
I get my peaches out in Georgia. Oh, yeah, shit. I get my weed from California. That's that shit.
Everyone only seems to know that bit, though. And it's getting really fucking annoying.
It's the best bit. So yeah. Oh, what a song. Anyway, sorry. Do you like Justin Bieber? It's fucking snowing now. I can't be dealing with this. Do you like Justin Bieber? And do you remember when you first became aware of him?
I do like Justin Bieber.
As an artist, beyond anything else.
I don't really follow his personal life too closely. I never was like a mad believer. I've never seen him live. I was never like madly in love with him as a like young one. But I really always enjoy his music.
Yeah.
Like I'm never not impressed by the tunes he comes out with.
Yeah. So when he released Not Baby, what was his first one? I remember when One Time came out.
I'ma tell you One Time.
It was like a big thing in my class. And like one girl in particular was like obsessed with him and was like, I love him. And was like, this is going to be like the next big thing, whatever. And then I remember I heard the song and I was like, I don't really vibe with this, but like at the time he was like 13 or 14. He was young, like,
yeah.
And I didn't really see the potential there. But again, I do think that was me being like, I'm not like other girls. I don't like boys who sing about pop. But I think there was something.
Give me a boy with a skateboard and blue hair.
Well, yeah, I was very much in my Fall Out Boy vibes at that point as well, I think. But I think another issue was that I found it like not weird, because like obviously you can have those like little romances and crushes at that age, but I suppose I found it like easier to buy that kind of story and narrative from like an adult man or woman, because it was like, oh, I'm going to be there at that point, I'm going to be in love with someone, I'm going to have this mad relationship. Whereas like hearing it from like a peer talking about something like that, I was like, oh, I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying?
No,
like as in, I think there was something kind of more, I loathe to use the word aspirational, but like that kind of way from like when you had those kind of people talking about love, because it seemed like something you were going to experience and it seemed like so mature and so cool. But then to hear Justin Bieber talking about like, you're going to be my girl forever. I'm going to tell you one time. I was like, all right. Like I didn't really buy it because I was that age. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. Sorry. I thought you were talking about people in your class. You didn't buy it from Justin.
Yeah.
You were like, you don't know what love is.
Oh, I don't.
You are my age.
Yeah, but I don't think my classmates bought it either. I think they just genuinely like liked the song. And I think they like fancied him. Whereas like, I didn't fancy him because he was just like, he was so young. He was so young.
He was still a year older than you.
I know, but like when you see it at that, like I'd fancy him now. And like as he kind of grew up, like I was like, oh, I saw it. But at that time, I was like, oh, this is...
He was a baby. He was like... I don't even know what age he was. Was he 14 when he like became like the most famous person in the world? Like, when I look at Quiva now, I'm like, imagine like your world turning upside down at that age. Like, it's just the probably the worst possible time things could blow up for you, I think.
It's no wonder the struggles that he's had, like,
literally, to be quite honest. Justin Drew Bieber, born 1st of March 1994. He's a Canadian American singer songwriter and multi instrumentalist. First thing we have in common. Growing up, he learned to play piano, drums, guitar, and trumpet. He was signed to RBMG Records in 2008, and his debut EP, My World, was released in late 2009. He became the first artist to have 7 songs from a debut record chart on the Billboard Hot 100. Which brings me to my first question I have here. Are Canadian people just more talented?
Yeah. There's something in the water up there when you consider like Shawn Mendes. In terms of popular music, you're talking like Shawn Mendes, The Weeknd.
Yeah.
All the Levies. Who else?
Drake. Loads. More than you'd realise.
I'm kind of going against my point here, but like, there's a band I love called Valley. They're from Canada. Light is a singer that I love from Canada. Is Carly Rae Jepsen Canadian? No.
I think so. Actually, she might be, yeah.
So, you
looked that up there. I'm going to keep going about our little JB.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to look up how old he was when he kind of blew up, and he was like 14, 15.
Yeah. So in early 2007, he was 12 and he did a cover for a local singing competition in Stratford, Ontario. And he sang, do you know the song, Fionnuala?
Soul Sick by Neo.
Soul Sick by Neo. I knew you'd know that. And he placed second in the competition. His mom posted a video of his performance on YouTube for their family and friends to see. And she carried on like uploading videos of him singing covers of like various R&B songs. And
they're all still there on his YouTube channel as well, if you want to.
Are they?
It's very funny, yeah. Maybe not all of them, excuse me, but a lot of the big ones. Like, if you go all the way back, his YouTube channel, because I was watching Seasons earlier, that documentary that he did with YouTube.
Yeah.
And a good few of them are still there.
Oh. So that's kind of how he got like a small bit of popularity on YouTube and started to like gain traction. So apparently the story goes that Scooter Braun was searching for videos of a different singer one day. Badman.
Boo. Boo, Badman. Scooter Braun. Boo.
Badman. So he was like YouTubing at someone else and accidentally clicked onto one of Justin's videos in 2007. Justin Bieber was a 12-year-old child. He clicked it by accident, but he was like really impressed. So he went and tracked down the theater of like where the video was that Justin was singing in, and then he found his school, and then from that he was able to contact Justin's mom to be like, here, I think your kid's really talented. But Justin's mom, who was like, was initially like having none of it because Scooter Braun was Jewish.
I know, when I read that I was like, what?
Insane. She said she remembers praying, God, I gave him to you, you could send me a Christian man, a Christian label, and God, you don't want this Jewish kid to be be Justin's man, do you? However, church elders convinced her to let Bieber go with Braun. So at age 13, Justin Bieber went to Atlanta, Georgia with Scooter Braun and recorded demo tapes, and he began singing with Usher a week later. And that's when he was signed to the Raymond Braun Media Group, or BMG, which was a joint venture between Scooter Braun and Usher. Justin Timberlake was in the mix to sign Bieber as well, but he like lost out on the bidding war. And apparently it's because they were both named Justin or something, and they thought it would confuse people.
Yeah.
So he let
Usher
have it.
You wonder how differently things would have gone if it was JT at the helm.
Not that well, I'd say.
Yeah.
Who knows? So that's it's the rest is history, as they say.
Yep.
I watched earlier, I went on because I remember Val, when she lived with me last year, she was obsessed with this Justin Bieber documentary. her documentaries, the seasons one, and she was like, you have to watch it, like you'll see him in a totally different light. I'm obsessed with him now. Him and Haley are like the ones, like if that's not real love, I don't know what love is, kind of thing. And I just never got around to watching it, and I never really had much interest in watching it. Like fair play to them, I don't really care to know the intimate details of what's going on. So today I sat down and I watched all the 10 episodes of seasons, and I also watched Next Chapter, which is like the newer documentary. It's like 25 minutes long, and it's set in the last year or so.
What did you think? Because I'm going to be honest, I only watched up as far as the episode where he was talking about
the dark days,
where he kind of admitted about his addiction, which I'd known about, and I remember even hearing about it, I was like, that's fucking grim. But then to hear him say, oh yeah, like I was smoking weed when I was like 12, 13, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah,
like that was hard. I'm gonna be honest, so like obviously Seasons was, I think two things. I think it was a promotional tool, as a lot of these documentaries are, like these No Holds Barred documentaries, to promote Changes, which was the album that came out in 2020. And to be honest, I do think it was like a little bit of image rehabilitation. I think it was a little bit of them trying to give more insight into his relationship with Haley, because like obviously we'll get into Selena at some point, but like they'd obviously had that very public relationship, that very public breakup. Like they had the kind of the fandoms on side, and then they broke up and like the fandoms were offside. And I think it was trying to bring them into their relationship and kind of be like, this is my wife, I love her, you need to leave her the fuck alone. But yeah, obviously you've watched all of it, and I did want to watch Next Chapter, because again, that was a promotional thing, I think, for Justice, which is his second last album. He literally, as we're recording this, he released another small project called Freedom, but that was his last, that's the album that Peaches is from. Like, what did you think? Because the first few episodes of Seasons for me were all about the album. And like, I didn't really care, because that, like, I think Changes is a very hit or miss album.
Yeah.
From a music perspective, I'm like, I don't really care. And I'm going to go back and obviously watch, because there's an episode about his wedding and stuff and whatever. And I do find them as a celebrity couple incredibly dull, but I would like to get that insight to be like, is there more to this?
Yeah.
Other than the fact they're like this couple who are like insanely happy, and like they love their church and they love each other, you know?
Yeah, I watched Next Chapter first and then Seasons after, and I kind of wish I'd watched them the other way around, because I didn't find Seasons as good. I found it a bit more like contrived, whereas Next Chapter, I was just like he opens it and he was just like, people want a happy ending. He was like, I want people to, or people want to see other people succeed. And he was like, that's what I want people to think about me when they think of me. He was like, he wants people to know that he, in the end, got back on his feet and did good, I think. Mm-hmm. Which was kind of like a nice thing, because that's why it opened, and I was like, okay, fair play to him. And it went on, and it's just more, it feels more natural between him and Haley. Like in watching Next Chapter, I was like, they are legit. They are mad about each other. Like, whereas in Seasons, when it's like the build up to their wedding and stuff, I was like, this girl is trying to marry a child. Like they're at like the cake tasting and he's like, can I go sit by the pool? How much longer do we have to do this? And like, I just found it all like a bit, I just found him not very likable. I do really like Haley. I think she's obsessed with him. I that's what I got from
but
it.
But like
anyway.
She always, but again, I think they tried to downplay that in the documentary. Like she was a believer. Like
there's footage. Like this is the whole thing, right? I think like what we need to remember about Justin is that he came up in a time, like he was the first person ever to be that famous in the era of social media.
Yeah.
Like he was the biggest, most famous person in the world as a 14-year-old. And like he had to go through puberty with the world watching. He had to like grow up with the world watching.
There was even like, there's interviews of him, like obviously because his voice broke between albums, and like there's interviews of him having to like justify that and why the album sounds different, and it's like that's completely fucking insane.
It's natural, it's literally like, just nature,
but it's just but it's just like if anyone used their brain, it's like, why does he sound different? Because
even like there's footage of him and Haley meeting for the first time when they're both like tweens, and her dad is like brings her to a concert or something to see him, and he's just like, she's like, hi, I'm Haley. And he's like, hi, I'm Justin Bieber or whatever. They shake hands and it's real awkward. But they're kids. And I was like, could you imagine and like having that footage of you meeting your future husband for the first time be that public and like scrutinized and stuff, it's just, it's insane. And I'm so glad he's made it this far alive. Like, I actually just can't imagine what it's been like for him for the last 15 years.
Yeah, my friend Dave Hannery, who he's hosts No Anchor, but he does like a lot of writing and stuff. He wrote at the time, or like kind of at the peak of a lot of Justin's shit that was going on in terms of like addiction and everything else, and like his mental health struggles. And he wrote a really good piece on that. If you search it, you'll find it. But like, he kind of became this punching bag, I think, for media. And again, he's done some shitty things, which we will talk about, we will address and whatever else. But I think a lot of the stuff that happened because he was growing up. He was like dealing with addiction and like all these other things on the side.
Yeah.
And then having to grow up very publicly on top of the fact that he like had all this pressure of being an artist, of being a celebrity, which I don't think most musicians would say that I don't think anyone ever wants that. I think they want to do it. They want to do the music. They don't want the fame, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, I think he says in the documentary as well, he was like, just at the age it all blew up from, like, he never learned how to be like an appropriate adult, like, if that makes sense. He was like, I never knew how to act. I was just like kind of getting everything I wanted. And he's like, I didn't know how to be polite and like how to treat people the right way. And he was like, that's something I've had to learn and actively try to do.
He does kind of place the blame of that at the feet of his family. Like, he had like,
but like, can you, like, it's not the feet. I don't think it's his family's fault. Maybe he was a little shit growing up.
I'm not saying it is, but that's kind of the way he said it. He kind of was like, my background like never lent me to, because like his mom and dad were never married, and then his mom
was very young as well, bringing him up.
Yeah, like it just seemed, I don't know. And he kind of admits himself. He was like, I was a class clown. I was never interested in school. He's very frank about it, like in admitting that he was like, yeah, like I wasn't a good person. But I will say, and again, I'm basing this purely from seasons, like, because they interview Scooter throughout it, and Scooter kind of says that, like, obviously throughout the career, I think he's saying that he didn't want him to release Journals, or around the time of Journals is one of his albums, that he wanted him to take a break. Yeah. But it was kind of like that Justin didn't listen or whatever. And I'm kind of like, where again Scooter kind of tries to absolve himself off the blame. And listen, like, there's a level of personal responsibility there for everyone. But at the same time, that it didn't leave a good taste in my mouth to have Scooter sit there and be like, oh, sure, like, I told him that he needed a break, and sure, like, he didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're in that much of a position. And like, at that time, Justin still wasn't like that old when Journals came out.
He said he was like, oh, if I'd known then what I know now, I would have had Justin in therapy from day one. And I'm like, well, you just didn't care. Like, you knew he was a child. You knew what was coming for him because you were in the industry. You were an older person. Like, you didn't protect him like you probably would protect like someone now. I don't know.
Maybe he didn't know to the degree of, because as you said, he was kind of like the case study in coming up in that era and that age.
Yeah.
But like, I think they did know at some point. I think he knew sooner than he's letting on. And it was kind of a case of, sure, we'll just like, we'll roll with it, whatever. Like, it's just, I think a lot of these people view it as part and parcel of the celebrity kind of artist experience. Look at Demi, like, sure, wasn't he managing, or wasn't he involved with Demi Lovato at some point? Not involved, but you know what I mean?
Scooter Braun, part of her management as well.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think, like, I was like, who failed Justin Bieber? And what has to change for like this not to be the cycle for people who get famous young?
Yeah, Demi Lovato defended Scooter amidst the Taylor Swift stuff. Like,
okay.
So they're still, yeah. So he might not still be managing her, but he was. And he manages like Ariana and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still managing Lovato from what I can see. Like.
But what do you think has to change for this, like, not to be the cycle? Like, we're watching Billie Eilish go through it now, and her whole documentary is basically them, like, seeing her family and all, and her struggle with the cycle, and trying not to let her fall down the same rabbit hole that like Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber, Demi Lovato, Selena, Amanda Bynes. They're like, literally, how do we break this? Like, I just don't know. How can we let, do we have to stop like letting people be so successful so young? But then
this is the issue.
Will it just happen when they're older?
It's not like you can unplug the internet. I think the internet has a lot to do with it. And then I think the other thing is having people in your team that don't have your best interests at heart.
Yeah.
When you've that level of like fame, when you're at that level of fame and that level of like the money you're earning, I feel you're always going to attract the kind of people who have bad intentions. Or simply just don't know how to do it and want to be along for the ride. Like with this music, with this industry, I think you've a lot of people who talk a big game and can bluff their way into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Scooter seems like the biggest fucking chancer in the world to be where he is now.
Yeah, totally.
I think there's an element to that. I think where Billy is lucky is in that, is that she has that like family unit. My argument would be that no one should be doing fucking anything before they're like 20 years of age.
Yeah.
But then there's another, I remember Robin saying in an interview before that like, that she'd been told before that if you haven't made it by the time you're 20, you're not going to make it. I think that's less true now. I think there's still some truth in it. And it's not that I agree with it, but I do get where she's coming from. But I think you've seen so many people who've kind of flipped that and gone against that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as applicable in 2021. But like, I think it is dangerous to be
famous
going
young.
Yeah. Just, like we've seen it, like so, even if you're to look at a different industry, if you're to look at the movie industry, like it's, see how hard it is for those people coming up when they've had to grow up. Like there's very few, I don't mean success stories, because obviously people have been successful or people have had their struggles and they've survived. But like, there's very few who've come through it without any struggle at all. And like, listen, that's not to say, like everyone struggles, like me or you struggle. Neither of us have to deal with addiction or those kind of things, whatever. I'm not saying people don't have very linear journeys to get to where they are. But I do think there's an age thing. I do think there's like a team thing. As you said, there's no school for telling you how to deal with being famous or how to deal with social media or how to deal with anything.
Like, I don't know what age you would know that you're ready to accept the level of like intrusiveness and stuff that comes along with being that famous. Like even if you take like Little Mix as an example, like they signed up to be girl bands. Like they signed up, they went to X Factor with the intention of being the biggest girl band in the world. They were like, give me all the fame, give me all the money, give me all, like, give me the tours, give me the concerts, give me everything. And I just don't think I think they'd say it themselves, they had no idea what they were getting themselves in for. So I'm just like, what, at what point, like, how are you, you'll never fully know what's coming. I don't know. Especially, and like, as a child, that's just my, like, times that by 100, you know? I do, just to connect the Billy and Justin thing again, I do fully believe that he is, like, he has this whole thing where he wants to mentor kids, like, not kids, but like teenagers who are up and coming in the same industry. And he does genuinely want to have an eye out for them, because, like, I think he wishes someone like that had his back when he was coming up, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he's trying to be different now and be like, reach out to these people and be like, talk to me, I'll show you the way and how not to do it, pretty much.
Yeah. I don't think there's any ill intent there. Yeah.
No, I think genuinely is like, please don't follow my path.
If you just think of like how, we've mentioned like the two YouTube documentaries there, but there were two other films before that as well. You'd like Never Say Never and Believe. Like this, even beyond, like he gave so much of himself, even without like the whole intrusive people wanting to know or people going to whatever means necessary to find out. And I do think that was down to like his management and his team as well.
There's no way he was like, as a 15-year-old, I want to make a documentary about me. Like that's someone bringing that to him, being like, this is what we're going to do. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's just tough. It just made me sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when like, he is very talented. I'm sure some people, if you don't like Justin Bieber, you're not going to agree with that. But in terms of, and like, he has a lot of help. Like with that season's documentary, you get an insight into like his main songwriter, Pooh Bear, who's done like, which I found so funny when I looked up his other songwriting credits. Like, he's written, do you remember Brooke Hogan?
Hulk Hogan star. Yeah.
He did a lot of songs for her, which I thought was funny. He does a lot of stuff, like, he's his main, like, songwriting partner. And like, you see clips of him in the documentary, like, he can play piano, he can play guitar.
I do think he's very musical. I think he's an incredible singer. I don't know if he's the genius that, like, Billy and Phineas are. And I hate to keep comparing them, but that's just, like, the most recent documentary I've seen of someone in a similar situation. I don't think he's, like, I don't think he's a genius. I don't think it all goes on up there for him. I just think he's very talented musically, in terms of the songwriting and stuff. I'm not sold yet. I think he can make cracking pop bangers. But does that make you a musical genius? No.
Purpose, an incredible album.
Yeah. Was that the Sorry, you know?
What a comeback album and just everything. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite. What's your favorite? What's your favorite Justin Bieber song ever? And then I'm going to, because I put it to the patrons. I'm going to bring it up here while you're.
Yeah, we need to get into the music. But my favorite, it's hard. As I said, I really like that Purpose album. The Justice album, the newest one, is very good as well. Let me think. I like Company. I've come back to that a lot, actually. I'm listening to that a lot recently. Confident is good as well.
Yeah.
The Chance Rapper.
Yeah.
What else do I have? I wrote down some of the other singles here. Beauty and the Beat is very good.
Beauty and the Beat is a bop. Sorry. And we all hate Chris Brown, but Next to Me. Next to You. What is it called?
Next to You, yeah.
Tune.
I'm not entertaining any Chris Brown chat on this podcast.
No. It's Chris Brown. If you take Chris Brown out of it, it's a tune. Tune. If you were to sing it to me now, I'd say that's a tune.
I'd like a Justin Bieber only version of that song.
Yeah.
But I really liked, I obviously really like Peaches.
Holy is up there for me.
Holy is very good, yeah.
I really like
Love
Holy.
Yourself. I know, and I get Sheeran wrote it, but, like, it's good. Like,
Sheeran is a good songwriter.
Under the mistletoe.
Whatever.
What was the general consensus from people on the Instagram?
Yeah, Sorry is the one that's appearing the most. Someone said, Sinead said, does Eeny Meeny with Sean Kingston count? So much serotonin.
Of course it does.
Absolutely, Sinead. Sorry by far is such a bop. Sorry, One Time. Sorry is a banger. Not gone on much of his music. Just not for me, but I like his new songs. What Do You Mean, Sorry, Love Yourself was a God tier single run. Baby, 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 three in a row. Obsessed with Ghost off the new album. Where Are You Now, Baby, You Smile, Sorry, Love Yourself. Fa La La from the Christmas album. He has so many good tunes, but it's a timeless bop. I do not know
I haven't listened to a lot of the Christmas album.
Purpose, Boyfriend, listen to it most days, but it's in all my playlists. Sorry, Beauty and the Beat, What Do You Mean? Just, and it goes on and on. Never Say Never.
Never Say Never is good. I never thought that I...
You Smile.
No, I hate You Smile. Sorry, I hate
You Smile. Is that it?
it's too childish for me. Somebody to Love with Usher.
Yes. I am putting that on later. That's a cooking in the kitchen song.
Sorry, do you know the other song that has... that Pooh Bear is like songwriting credits for?
No.
Usher, I caught up. I'm so caught up and be feeling it, caught up. I don't know what it is. What? Oh, an unrelenting tune. So let's get into it. As you said there, he signed there and from there he was introduced to L.A. Reid. So he was signed to Island from there where he released One Time. He was still recording his debut album at that time. And the song reached number 12 on the Canadian Hot 100 during its first week of release in 2009 and later peaked at 17 on the Billboard Hot 100, which is like so shite when you compare to like how he is now.
Yeah.
But it had success in international markets like Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And then his first release was an EP, My World. Second single, One Less Lonely Girl. Another terrible song. Really do not enjoy that at all. But I think it's quintessential of who he was at the time. So like, we'd forgive it, whatever. And then two promo singles. Do you remember Love Me? love me, say that. It sampled whatever that song yeah. is originally. It's pretty good. I like that at the time. I don't think I listened to it now. Favorite Girl, I don't really remember. They charted within the top 40. And then his big like breakout hit, and again, I talk all the time about me obsessively watching the Billboard charts, but I remember this coming out of the Billboard chart and like watching to see how it did. Baby from My World 2.0, his collab with Ludacris.
What a tune.
When I was 13, I had my first love. There was nobody that compared to my baby. And et cetera. She had me going crazy. Oh, wow, I was starstruck. Where's she Ludacris? Woke me up daily. He's still doing stuff.
Ludacris has no business being that funny.
No, he really doesn't. Skip a beat, want to see her on the street and
on school in the playground.
That went to, but I really want to see her on the weekend. That went to number 5 in the US, number 3 in Canada, and reached the 10 in several international markets. And then you had
did he peak with Baby? Be honest. Did he peak with Baby?
No.
Okay.
He hasn't even begun to peak. No, I don't think so. Because I don't actually really think I liked Baby upon initial release.
I remember like my sister was at actual Baby at the time, and it was the only song she could sing. It was like one of her first words was like baby, baby, baby,
baby, baby, baby,
baby, baby, baby. What movie is that? That I've been doing that all day.
I've no
baby,
idea.
Baby, baby, baby.
So then he released. Is this My World 2.0? Yeah, it debuted at number 1 in the US Billboard 200, making Bieber the youngest solo male act to top the charts since Stevie Wonder in 1963. My World 2.0 also debuted at number 1. In Canada, in Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand, and reached the top 15 of 15 other countries. He then released Eenie Meenie.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Sean Kingston, iconic
collab. Eeny meeny.
Catch a bad chick by her toe. If she hollers, let her go. Sound advice.
Yeah, consent.
Do not be cat.
Consent from Sean Kingston.
Yeah.
A lesson in consent by Sean Kingston.
No, stop it. then he released Somebody's Love. That was April 2010. That was the next single from My World 2.0. It was a remix. So there was like an original, and then he jumped on with Usher. Then he went out on tour in 2020, the My World Tour. That year it was reported that he was the most searched for celebrity on the internet, and then that same month, July 2010, his music video Baby surpassed Lady Gaga's Bad Romance as
being the most searched person in the world.
Yeah,
as a child.
It's invasive when you put it like that.
Yeah,
it like that is like, that's weird. So sorry, most viewed and also the most disliked YouTube video ever. But he was later beaten by Taylor Swift with Blank Space. It that's possibly been beaten since. That was in 2018. Yeah,
by Gangnam Style or Baby Shark.
Oh yeah, probably one of them, but Baby Shark doesn't count. Do you remember him guest starring on CSI?
I feel like I do, but I don't know if that's just my brain saying I do because you've just.
When I read it, I remembered it.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And I remember it being.
Was he
like
a body?
So highly publicized. He played a troubled teen who was faced with a difficult decision regarding his only brother, who's also a serial bomber.
No, I've no memory of that.
Also in a subsequent episode of the series. Spoiler alert.
Don't you hate it?
Is killed. Yeah.
When your brother is a serial bomber.
Hate that. Never Say Never was the 3D part biopic part concert
that's
film that was released in 2011, directed by John M. Chu. John M. Chu also directed Step Up to the Streets.
Yes, that's with your man from what's that movie we were talking about earlier?
She's the man that we did for Patreon.
Yeah.
Like a bio, subscribe. Gem and the Holograms and One for You, Breed. He's working on In the Heights, just due out later this year.
It's coming out in June. I'm so excited. It's been shot and all. The trailers are out. It looks very good. Is he like a choreographer?
No, director.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. Actually, he might not be. I think it's Eddie.
Where is Kenny Ortega in all this success? In the midst of all the success, give me the 2 degrees of separation to Kenny Ortega.
Oh, that would be much harder than Meek, I think. The film that he is a person, upcoming projects. Hang on, let me have a look. Let me just double check this so I don't have to come back to correction. Chu directed In the Heights, based on the Broadway musical of the same name for Warner Brothers.
Love that.
What was I going to say? Yes, back to my notes. So yeah, Never Say Never. This grossed $30.3 million for the weekend. Narrowly beaten by the romantic comedy Just Go With It.
Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler.
Yes. I couldn't remember that movie. No, is it Jennifer Aniston? And Adam
Sandler? Yeah. Could be.
It had reportedly exceeded industry expectations, nearly matching the $31.1 million grossed by Miley Cyrus's 2008 3D concert film, Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus' Best of Both Worlds concert.
Cheers.
Which holds the record for the top debut for a music documentary. Then you had end of 2011, he'd released the Christmas album, Under the Mistletoe, which we all know. And he re-recorded All I Want for Christmas Is You with Mariah. A far, far inferior version, you all agree. Then in 2019, we had Believe, which is his third studio album. Boyfriend went to number 2 in the US and became his first single to go to number 1 in Canada, which is gas. Following that, we had All Around the World with Ludacris. You just can't let Ludacris go. There was a promotional single. And then the second...
What did that go like?
All around the world, people want to be loved.
Okay.
Do you remember?
No, I keep thinking of Charlie XCX.
Oh yeah, not that. Do you remember As Long As You Love Me with Big Sean? As long as you love me.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know, something like that.
Beauty and a Beat was the third single featuring Nicki Minaj, as we mentioned. The video held the record for the most video views in 24 hours when it was released, with 10.6 million views. Again, obviously it's been beaten since. He did Saturday Night Live to promote the album. He was a host and musical guest this wasn't around the time, I believe, but he did do Saturday Night Live. And his appearance, I don't remember him doing Saturday Night Live, this one, but his appearance was panned by critics, and cast members were like really not complimentary of him. Kate McKinnon said it was really clear he wasn't comfortable being a host, and Bill Hader said he was like really uncomfortable with Bieber and his entourage, and he said that in his 8 years on SNL, Bieber was the only one who lived up to his reputation.
Aww.
which again makes me sad, because it's like, you knew then that it was like, he probably was being a bit of a dickhead, but I feel like he was also a victim of his circumstance.
Yeah, he just didn't know any better.
Yeah. Following that, he released like a track a day in the lead up to the Believe movie. This was like another documentary he did. And this project became Journals, and that has Confident on it, that I mentioned with Chance the Rapper. It's very good. Like, a lot of people consider it like, and of the fans, I think, consider it critically his best. And like, it's kind of one that I think is forgotten about.
I can give you 2 degrees of separation from Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
I think my brother has been in the same room as him.
Okay. Is that that's one?
But two from you.
Oh yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that's true. I'd love to meet Chance the Rapper, but I feel like he's another one that the fame has kind of gotten from a bit.
I don't know.
I feel like he's a bit cranky. Like.
Okay. I don't know. I can't comment either way.
He's in a big money war, I think, with his manager, and like his album was not good at all. But anyway. Then we had, like, he's so good with his collaborations. Like 2015, you could not go anywhere without hearing Where Are You Now with him and Jackie.
Where Are You Now? I hate that song.
Do you?
That I hate that particular song.
Okay. That is what you say. Why?
I just hate it. It's just annoying. It's annoying.
Who is Jackie?
Jackie U,
who's the producer, like,
who is he? What is it, like a synonym?
I know who it is, like, pseudonym. I don't know who they're. No, yeah, but it's like a group. It's like, you know the way Silk City is Diplo and Mark Ronson.
Oh,
Jackie U is.
Can I have a clue?
Skrillex.
Oh no, I would never have gotten that.
They won a Grammy for that, and then he went into his Purpose era. What Do You Mean? The lead single became Bieber's first number one single on the Billboard Hot 100. So he'd had like number one album since, but like he could not crack that chart. And this is where I think things really escalated for him, even though it was kind of considered a comeback album. I think there was a few years between, maybe was there 2 years between? I think I said, sorry, I need to go back and correct myself. I think I said that Believe came in June 2019, which is not true. It was June 2013.
Oh, yeah.
I got confused. You're way ahead of yourself. Sorry. So SNL did come out in 2013 and it was to promote Believe, and that's why people were critical of it. Correction corner over. Back to Purpose. This is kind of viewed as a comeback album because I think he was like dealing with all this shit and was like canceling tours or like hadn't been seen in a while. And this was like kind of his next really like mature phase. So we had What Do You Mean? He became the youngest male artist to debut at the top of the chart, earning him a Guinness World Record.
Yeah.
Sorry. That went to number two. And then for 8 non-consecutive weeks at number two, it climbed to the top spot of the chart and became Bieber's second number one single on the Billboard Hot 100. Third single was Purpose, which peaked at number one in the US. He became the first male artist in almost a decade to have 3 number ones from an album since, let's bring it back, Justin Timberlake lasted with his album Future Sex Love Sounds in 2006, 2007. And then Company was the fourth single off that album. And that was released in 2016. And then in 2016, you had him doing like other collabs. He did Cold Water with Major Lazer and Mo.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Let Me Love You, which he did with DJ Snake. He was like, he was everywhere without even having to do his own music. Like, you know what I mean? He was inescapable with that genre. Then, which I found was funny after watching Seasons. Obviously, he came on the remix of Despacito with Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. That was his first release of 2017 and the first in which he sings Spanish.
Yeah.
And him being on the track boosted the original song to that 100's top 10. And it became the first mostly Spanish song, language song in the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 since the Macarena in 1996. What I thought was funny is he talks about it in Seasons that he actually can't speak Spanish.
Yeah, he's just mimicking the sound.
Which is like,
I feel like funny. Most of them are at that.
And then there's a part of me that's like,
is it appropriation?
It's not appropriation, but I'm just kind of like, you're benefiting off this part of like music. Like we've talked about it before, like that kind of, that Latin music industry is like really on the up and like really supportive of its artists. And it's kind of like he's benefiting from that without actually knowing or caring about the culture really, like.
Yeah.
I just think, to be honest, she shouldn't have said anything about not being able to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And I think only for the fact that they were recording it and it was obvious that he couldn't. I was like, why? Like, you didn't have to say that. You could have just said nothing and been like, anyway, which isn't the right thing to do either. But like, I don't know why you didn't have that on camera. But anyway, 2018, he did some bits of DJ Khaled. He did No Brainer. That's a fucking great tune.
What's that got like?
Earworm. You stick out of the crowd, baby. It's a no brainer.
Oh, yeah. Tune.
Him and Me Be For Real. Very good. Changes, obviously, then came in 2020. Lead single was Yummy. Very bad song.
Yeah, I hate
Very, very terrible song. Not good. He did a collab with Kehlani, Get Me, that was released as promotional single. Not great, even though I do really like the two of them. And then Intentions was the third single with Quavo.
Quavo.
The guy from, what are they called again? Migos. Did you see that thing, though, at the time? Like, obviously, he was trying to utilize TikTok and like try to get the promo for it. So he like came up, or someone in his team came up with this dance to do it. And he was dead. You could tell he was really mad for it to go viral. But like when you clicked in the sound on TikTok, it was like multiple videos of him doing the dance for the top of the sound. Like he couldn't. It was so funny to see that happen and to see the TikTok audience be like, no, like sorry, like
Justin Bieber.
Well, yeah, they were just
Quavo.
Like, to Justin Bieber. Quavo is not out here doing TikTok dances.
Yeah, fair.
The singles didn't do that well, but the album went to number one and it was his 7th number one album. In May, he released that collab with Ariana Grande, Stuck With You, which topped the Billboard Hot 100. I think that was a fundraiser for the Red Cross.
That was a good song.
It was something to do with COVID. I didn't like it.
I liked it.
I didn't like it, but like obviously the intent was good, so whatever. Then he went into the new era of promotion. As we said, he came out with Holy, the middle of 2020 with Chance the Rapper. And that peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. He followed that up with Lonely, which is a collaboration with Benny Blanco. He's a very prolific producer. And then he released the third single, Anyone, the start of this year from his 6th album, Justice. Hold On came next, which I've heard on the radio. It was very, very good. But it's so funny. Like, Peaches is the most recent single. That's debuted at number one. As did Justice. But it's so funny the way the album kind of rollouts can go and, like, the things you identify as singles. And, like, not like obviously all the previous singles have done really well in comparison. But, like, for Peaches is the fifth single. And it's just, like, it just got people. I think it was helped by he did a Tiny Desk performance and it was really, really good. But, yeah. So then... he's just tied Drake for the second most Hot 100 debuts of all time with Peaches.
He has so many Guinness World Records, doesn't he? He has like 8.
Yeah. So he's tied Drake. I'm trying to see how many he has. Anyway, yeah, he's tied Drake. Last week, Bieber was tied with Mariah Carey, Travis Scott, and Taylor Swift for the third most number one debuts on Hot 100 as all of those beloved figures have opened in first place 3 times. Now he's passed them, but it's entirely possible that either Scott or Swift could collect another leader upon arrival at any point in the coming months or years. Yeah, I would imagine with their re-release of Fearless.
Yeah, she's going to knock him off.
He has kind of been in hot water recently as well. So there's like an interlude in the middle of the Justice album that samples. And again, I don't know how they thought this was a good idea, but anyway, there's this interlude in the middle of it that's called MLK interlude, so like it's Martin Luther King, and it's been slated by a lot of people because it's taken from a speech of Martin Luther King, obviously, but the way it's cut off, it makes the end of it sound like he's saying stand up for Justin as opposed to what he actually says, which is stand up for justice.
No, really, you can't be at that. You cannot really, be at that. Martin Luther King.
Yeah, it's not great. Now, like, he's featured on another song. I haven't listened to Justice all the way through, so I'm not fully sure. And he's listed as a co-writer, but like a lot of people have been like,
wasn't it him that was like, I'm pretty sure Anne Frank would have been a believer as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Justin.
Now, again, I think he said this.
The past is the past. So like, yeah, no, in fairness. Yeah.
But he was chatting to fans on Clubhouse and he said, he said that his Canadian schooling meant that he wasn't taught about Black history. It was just not a part of our education system. I think for me, coming from Canada and being uneducated and making insensitive jokes when I was a kid and being insensitive and being honestly just part of the problem because I just didn't know better. For me to have this platform to just share this raw moment of Martin Luther King in a time where he knew he was going to die for what he was standing up for. He said he was willing to endure as much hate by putting Dr. King's speeches on the album in an effort to demonstrate what he believes justice looks like. Finishing, the singer said he had intended to amplify the civil rights leaders' incredibly touching speech through its conclusion. He kind of didn't really apologize. I mean, I don't think he is going to back down at this point. I think it's a bit weird. Now he's kind of said, like, obviously the fact that his album is called Justice, he's kind of promoting a lot of organizations that in his view embody justice. So he is like Compton Pledge, the King Center, Unite the Poor, This is About Humanity, Lift Communities. Like, he's talking about them across social media as well, and I'm pretty sure he's donating. But like, it was just like, I don't know how someone on his team wasn't like, what the fuck are you doing here, man? You know?
Yeah.
There was another issue as well. So he, for the 2021 Grammys, he was nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album for Changes. It's the album that was released before this. But he basically put out this huge statement on Instagram saying, he was like, I'm flattered to be acknowledged and appreciated for my artistry. I'm very meticulous and intentional about my music. With that being said, I set out to make an R&B album. Changes was and is an R&B album. It is not being acknowledged as an R&B album, which is very strange to me. I grew up admiring R&B music and wished to make a project that would embody that sound. For this not to be put into that category feels weird, considering from the chords to the melodies to the vocal style, all the way down to the hip-hop drums that were chosen, it is undeniably, unmistakably an R&B album. To be clear, I absolutely love pop music. It just wasn't what I set out to make this time around. My gratitude for feeling respected for my work remains, and I'm honored to be nominated either way. And I remember this coming out and being like, you are such a fucking whinge bag.
Yeah.
You are such a whinge bag. But I think we talked about on the Lil Nas X episode, like the discrepancies between genres and like how much like these kind of like between Billboard and these kind of bodies like the Grammys that kind of don't recognize it, that I don't necessarily sympathize, but I can understand that that it is frustrating. But at the same time, like, he's been known as a pop artist for so long, and there still is a lot of pop in changes.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Be honest.
I'll always be honest. So yeah, he just released that new record, Freedom, which I haven't listened to. It's not like a full album. Justin Bieber, Freedom. Let me tell you who's on that now. Dropped it on Easter Sunday. Surprise album. This was 2 weeks after Justice. Six songs featuring gospel music to coincide with holiday. Freedom, the title track, is a collab with Beam, who I think is on Justice as well. And other featured artists include Brandon Love, Chandler Moore, Pink Sweats, and Judah Smith. So yeah, there you go. Justice got a very good review on Pitchfork, and there seemed to be a lot of speculation that he paid for that review. He got like a 7.5, which is like good for Pitchfork, and I think good for him within the realms of Pitchfork, you know what I mean? But
yeah, he's incredibly religious, and I think he was like born again and like rechristened as a teenager or something. Or like a young adult.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, I want to ask you this, I thought of it earlier, but is there like some correlation to being like mega famous and really giving it up to God? Like,
there opinion? Definitely is.
Do you think it's because, yeah. Do you think it's because like when you're that famous and your world, like when you are like the chosen one that has been like, that is the celebrity of the moment, are you a bit like, why me? And like kind of grasping for meaning?
I think so. I think grasping there's an for element purpose? Of that. I do. Yeah, I think there's an element of that. He's a part of that Hillsong, fucking Justin Bieber Hillsong.
I just thought it was interesting. They're much more religious than common folk these days. Like, I think we're all like, I don't know.
Justin Bieber reveals he quit Hillsong Church after cutting ties. So one of the pastors is after getting, he's in this like cheating scandal, Carol Lentz. He would have been one of the main pastors in Hillsong.
Ruh-roh.
So he seems to have quit now, apparently.
He's not the pal that he had in the documentary. He has like some pastor friend in his documentary.
Could be.
Where he's like,
I haven't watched as far enough ahead. He's sure like, oh, you've... On that.
Yeah.
But there was like loads of rumors about him becoming a minister and stuff, but he actually said on his stories he's not a part of Hillsong. I am a part of Church Cone, which I think is a different church, clearly. But yeah, that minister was like, he's been like heavily criticized because again, obviously it's very holier than thou, like thou shalt be without sin, but he basically can't have an affair on his wife. So
naughty.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like Selena is like it is your man that's in the documentary, because there's a clip here in the article memory. It's your man that officiated the wedding between him and Hailey. Like,
oh shitty.
Yeah.
So he's cut ties with that guy.
Yeah. And apparently isn't with Hillsong now.
Insane. Yeah, because the whole thing in the documentary was like, you're like, I consider you such a close friend, like you're not only my pastor, but like all this, like, I really respect you as a husband and as a father, and like you've really shown me what it's like to be a good husband and all. That was fully the whole thing, and now this.
Ox.
Do you want me to talk briefly about Selena?
Yeah.
Our good old Selena Gomez. So they were on and off again from December 2010 to March 2018. Selena Gomez, actress and singer, episode pending at some point.
I'll never forget them on the VMAs, that like red carpet where he's wearing that like huge suit that doesn't really look like it fits him, and she's wearing that silver dress.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His hair like all coiffed. And there was like some kind of, because I think they were both like presenting on the night themselves. And there was a whole bit where he like kissed her on the cheek and stuff. And it was just like,
so dramatic and so much gossip for our little teenage selves.
Truly, yeah.
He said on the Ellen DeGeneres show that the songs Sorry, Mark My Words, and What Do You Mean are all about his relationship with her. Probably more. There's probably more. So they were both in the spotlight from a young age, and they had a lot of trouble keeping like the details of their relationship private and like keeping the drama under the radar. Like, there was a lot of drama.
Yeah.
In 2016, the ex-lovers hurled cheating accusations at each other over Instagram, which was seen by millions of their combined followers. It was like a very heated spat that caused Justin to delete his account altogether. And then Selena took some time off to like focus on her health. And she came back in November 2016, 2 months later, saying that she was dating The Weeknd for nearly 10 months. And Justin was like very petty about it all. So they broke up. She broke up with The Weeknd. I think they got back together for one last time. And then they broke up in March 2018. So like he hasn't been single for very long, because they kind of grew up together. They were on and off. March 2018, they broke up. And then in the times when they were broken up, he was with Hailey for like a brief time in like 2015, 2016 for like 2 months.
Hailey Baldwin,
daughter of Stephen Baldwin from the Flintstones.
Is he in the Flintstones?
Isn't it Stephen Baldwin that's in the Flintstones?
What character does he play in the Flintstones?
Like not the like the friend of Fred.
Hang on, it's coming up. I think you might be right.
That's the only reason I know him.
Aviva Rock Vegas.
Whatever,
Pete
like the
Krakowski is in this. We need to watch this again.
Ava. Yeah, no, I haven't seen it. Used to be the big, big movie all the time. I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, it was constantly a big, big movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh my god!
Is he Fred?
He's Barney.
Barney, yes.
Sorry, I cannot believe Jane Krakowski is in this.
Jane Krakowski is 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, he started dating
Hayley. It's a prequel to the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Which was like the better one, I think, because that was like John Goodman, Rosie O'Donnell.
Gina Davis in that? No, not Gina Davis.
Hang on, let me bring it up. Kyle MacLachlan, Halle Berry was in it.
Halle Berry, Kyle MacLachlan, that's where I know him from. Oh my God. Orson from Desperate Housewives. Who was the wife?
Elizabeth Perkins played Wilma.
Elizabeth Perkins.
Rosie O'Donnell played Betty.
Elizabeth Perkins was very much of that era, that Gina Davis era. But
what character is Pearl Slaghoople?
She's definitely someone who tries to make the husband cheat to get like in on some business venture or something.
Elizabeth Taylor played her anyway.
Anyway,
sorry, it's not the Elizabeth Taylor or the Flint.
So Justin and Hailey dated for like 2 months, 2015, 2016, and then broke up. He was back with Selena and then dumped Selena March 2018, or they split up. And then in June 2018, he started dating Hailey again. They got engaged a month later and legally married in September of that year. And then married again in their like official religious wedding on September 30th, 2019. And it was just, it was all very quick. From one girl to the other.
She does acknowledge that in the season documentary where she's like, she had to ring her parents and be like,
yeah,
of all, I need you to tell me right now, this is insane. And yep. Like, be really honest. But she was also like, I just knew I wanted to do it. I was like, what the fuck, bother ringing your parents?
By all accounts, like, people seem to think they're like very well matched. And she is like the perfect girl for him.
Yeah, all of his management have said that like, she's so patient, whatever. And that's why, like, I think the actual quote is, if I could have picked her from the stars, it would have been her.
Yeah.
But like, it's interesting as well though, then, like, I've seen clips on TikTok of like, and again, they're like very isolated instances, and also be aware that like, I haven't really followed either of them in a personal capacity, but like, there's a couple of instances where he seems to be like very immature, like kind of similar enough to that cake tasting thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
is she babysitting?
He's being very immature, and where they're kind of being like, Justin treats Hailey like absolute dog shit, basically.
Yeah.
And then it must also be very hard for her though, because again, you have on her channel where she's like putting up like music video or videos of her doing her makeup or whatever, and the music will be Peaches or the music will be a Justin Bieber song to support him. And like all the comments are about like Jelena and Selena, and about like, and if it's not like comments being like, we prefer Selena or like RIP Jelena, like it's people defending Hailey, and that has to weigh on her mind, like,
absolutely,
you know.
She does seem like a nice gal, and I do fully believe, like I said earlier, she does love him. Like, I don't think she's with him because he's Justin Bieber. Like, I don't think she's with him so that she'll be Justin Bieber's wife. I think she is just so happy to be married to Justin. Like, I do think they're like in love. Do you know what I mean? I don't think she wants to be known for being his wife. I just think she wants to be his wife.
Yeah. I'm just looking at my old Daily Edge articles about anything that I wrote about him and Hayley.
No praise. Self-praise is no praise. Yeah.
Well, sorry, I might not have necessarily written them, but I definitely wrote one of them. So yeah, and they did that weird Vogue cover.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a... Okay, that's not really relevant. I'm trying to think. Justin Bieber celebrates his engagement to Hailey Bieber with much talk of Jesus. Hailey Baldwin. She's actually copyrighted Hailey Baldwin Bieber Beauty. So I it seems that. Like she might be doing... Yeah, I know. I think she's going to do some kind of beauty line. And she just started a YouTube channel.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
Here, YouTube's just about to take off.
Yeah. He went through a year of celibacy before he got with Hailey as well. This was in the...
It was a lockdown.
Actually. Just revealed that he believed that God blessed him with his wife Hailey after more than a year spent abstaining from sex. The singer admitted that he had been super promiscuous in the past and wanted to address it by embarking on a period of celibacy. I wanted to rededicate myself to God in that way because I really felt it was better for the condition of my soul. God doesn't ask us to not have sex for him because he wants rules and stuff. He's like, I'm trying to protect you from hurt and pain. I think sex can cause a lot of pain. Sometimes people have sex because they don't feel good enough, because they lack self-worth. Women do that and guys do that. And he believes that sacrifice brought him Hailey. So there you go.
Love that for them.
I mean, you could just get the ride as well. That's all. Sounds like somebody wants the ride. Are they going to stay together? I hate being mean and talking about it like this, but like,
A lot of people are like, if that's not love, then what is love? And I get that, but they are so young. She's only 24. He's only 26. They've a long way to go. Oh yeah, he is. Happy birthday, Justin. I'm 4 weeks late, but they're so young, and I do believe they are madly in love right now. But to be that famous and under that spotlight, and for your marriage to survive, is a tricky feat that we rarely see. So I don't know.
I kind of think as well he wants the marriage to fix things.
Yeah, I do think in the second documentary, the newer one, he looks a lot healthier, a lot happier, a lot more mature, and I think a lot of that is down to her.
Yeah.
So like, listen, if maybe she will fix things, and fair play to them.
Yeah.
Do you have any parting thoughts on Justin Bieber?
Any parting thoughts? I think he's a very interesting case study celebrity wise and has some absolute bangers. And my one regret is not going to see him live in the RDS.
Yeah, I would love to see him live.
A good concert, and I think that was the purpose tour.
The
and I think I was offered tickets for it, and I just didn't go, or I couldn't go, and I was like absolutely raging that I didn't.
The Sessions documentary is like him building up for like his big comeback, and that built up to like the end of 2019, and then 2020 hit, so he hasn't been able to tour. So I think once we come out of all of this, he's gonna put on like the best tour ever, and I would love to be there.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see if you're good.
If anyone was a hardcore believer, or maybe met him when he was in Dublin, perchance, hit us in the DMs. We'll share everything anonymously on the Instagram story.
Yes, please.
We love that piping hot tea. Any mini bandwagons, Breed?
I sure do. I saw this trailer for a new movie. Actually, I think it's like number one in Ireland at the minute on Netflix, and I really want to watch it because it seems right up my street. It's Sarah Paulson. The movie's called Run. It's a
thriller. I've seen a couple of people talk about this.
Thriller, horror, new. Got 90%
thriller, horror, new, great.
90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Great.
So it's Sarah Paulson and Keira Allen. And the plot is Chloe was raised by her mother, Diane, in total isolation. Her mother has totally controlled her since she was born. But now as a teenager, Chloe is starting to explore her mother's secrets. Kind of gives me big... Gypsy Rose vibes, but I don't know. I think you have to watch it to figure it out.
Jack, who I used to live with, recommended it to me.
Yeah, I'd like.
He said, Run on Netflix is a creepy watch. Massive Joey King in the act vibes.
Yeah, that's Gypsy Rose.
And he said the main girl is way more watchable than Joey King.
Great.
I don't know who the main girl is, but
I will watch it.
It's on Netflix, and that's
yes. Yeah, my next two mini bandwagons I wrote down in a rush. And the second one is like obnoxious cakes. which is just like a personal thing I'm at the minute. I'm trying to make one of those big obnoxious Kinder Bueno cakes.
Okay.
That's all, like, that's as much as I can say on it.
Okay.
And then Gile weather, because I got a new Gile recently and this is the perfect weather for
it's
it.
It's not Gile weather.
I would say it is.
I feel like there's actually never a time to wear a Gile.
No, this is Gile weather. Also, spring.
It's not, you don't say Gile with a heart, with a G, it's Gile.
Gillet.
No.
I like
no.
Gillet.
I feel like gilets are hard to wear because it's never,
I gotta
never
gorgeous.
Get that middle ground weather. Like,
this is it. I'm telling you now, this no, is the middle ground weather. It was sunny yesterday and now it's snowing. This is gilet weather. I got a gorgeous Zara one on Depop. It's like khaki and like long and it has a hood. And
what
it's like
you wear under it though?
Long sleeve top.
It's long.
Yeah, like covers your bum.
Long and no sleeve. Oh, okay.
It's like wearing a duvet. It's lovely. It's like wearing a sleeping bag around with your arms sticking out, and I really enjoy it. But as we were recording, a gorgeous listener named Ivan came to my rescue and reminded me that Mom or MOM are back with a new single. She said, excellent new song by a band you put me onto in an earlier mini bandwagon. Song of the summer last year, would recommend. And I think it's called Down by the River.
Yes, it is. I've seen it.
And it's, I think they're called, is it Mom or MOM? Do you know? Mom.
I don't know.
Anyway, they're trad
fusion.
Their Instagram
fusion. Is called We Are Rebel Pop, I will say, which irritates me because the brand Rebel Pop. All over the place. Yeah.
I did not read it like that. Bell Pop, I always thought it said. That makes
how
no sense.
Do you, how, that doesn't make any sense either.
We are, oh my God, I've only just realized now I've been reading that wrong the whole time. We Are Rebel Pop. Yeah. They are Rebel
That's
Pop.
It's not a criticism of you guys, but I just
Rebel
I
Pop
just
and Trad Fusion. And I think it's a bop. So
maybe we'll get them on our interview series and we can talk about why they have two different
Yeah, they can explain it to us.
Yeah.
Maybe MOM is too short for a handle.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll explain.
Anyway.
I'm happy to hear from them. As mentioned earlier, we reviewed She's the Man for the Patreon this week as part of Movie Club. So come join us over there. How much is it a month again? How do I never remember this? A fiver.
Fiver. Literally a fiver.
Fiver a month. You get four.
So much content.
You get at least four bonus episodes a month, sometimes more depending on what we have on. Brie does a tarot reading or a dream analysis depending on the month. And you get a playlist from me as well. And you also get first listen to our music interview series that we just mentioned. And yeah, this podcast has been produced by Collaborative Studios. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on, oh, it has to be nice though. Follow us on Spotify. You get all the up-to-date episodes before everyone else. Well, unless they also follow on Spotify, then they'll get them at the same time. We are Bandwagons Podcast over on social media. I've been Fula.
I've been Breed.
Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you again next week.
Goodbye. Talking about things that other people
are talking about. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.